Support for the Capital Connection comes from United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm David Giustina. With us this week, Paul Wolf. He's been on the program before. He is now the president emeritus of the New York Coalition for Open Government, which describes itself as a nonpartisan, not-for-profit organization. And it's all volunteer, comprised of journalists, activists, attorneys, educators, news media organizations, and other concerned citizens who value open government and freedom of information. You can find out more at nyopengov.org. Welcome back, Paul Wolf.
Thanks for having me again.
Well, it's great to have you. And, you know, quite timely because we are heading into this Christmas holiday. In fact, people on WAMC are hearing it on Christmas Day. So quite appropriate around the state at different times over the Christmas weekend. But the issue is the naughty list. And this is the third year in a row now, Paul, that your organization, the New York Coalition for Open Government, has put the governor, Kathy Hochul, on the top of its naughty list. How come?
Yeah, it's disappointing that that's the case, but when she came into office as governor, she stated that she was going to bring a new era of transparency, and unfortunately, she talked a good game but hasn't backed it up. So not much has come from the governor in terms of initiatives for open government. And anytime the legislature passes a bill that would reform things, she seems to veto it. So she was put on the list this year for vetoing several bills that we supported.
Well, let's talk about those bills. They're very important. And of course, one of them was tightening FOIL response deadlines, freedom of information law we're talking about. This is very valuable to regular citizens, of course, but I'll be honest with you, to the media. And we often don't get timely replies.
Yes, that is true. All across the state, we hear complaints from the news media and the public as far as how long it takes or how difficult it is to obtain information through a Freedom of Information Law request. So one of the bills would have put some tighter time periods in there. One of the problems we see is a public agency will ask for more time. You know, you get a letter every 60 days, we need more time. And this could go on for months. So this bill would have put some time limits in place. Seemed pretty reasonable, but the governor vetoed it.
Again, after a campaign in which she said they'd be both the most transparent administration in New York has ever seen. So tell us about the other bills you're not so happy about.
Well, just the other day, actually, after our list came out, she has vetoed the bill regarding police radio transmissions. There's a growing movement across the state of police agencies encrypting their scanners, which the media relies on. There was a bill about getting more information regarding limited liability companies. Many of those are secret as far as who owns certain properties or businesses. The governor just vetoed that bill. So the list, unfortunately, goes on and on.
Well, since you're not happy with her, do you have a theory, you and your organization, the New York Coalition for Open Government, as to why the governor would do such things? Why would a governor who said she was going to be transparent ultimately vote against opening government more?
Well, I think people have well intentions when they come into office and everyone supports, you know, open government until you're in positions of power. And you realize that you may not want this pesky news media and the public getting access to information. So we see this time and time again where when you're not in power, you favor open government. But once you become in power, and it's really nonpartisan, regardless of whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, suddenly the tune changes and we don't want the news media and the public to have information that can be used to criticize me or to make me look bad.
Yeah. And they also have other ways, don't they, of getting their message out, you know, the way they want it delivered. They don't have to provide the information you want. They can tailor it through their social media, their own websites, and other places where, you know, it makes them look good.
Yeah. Unfortunately, politicians are obsessed with looking good. That's a big part of the job. And you know, having people criticize you, well, it's certainly, you know, not a fun thing to do. It comes with the territory. You know, if you run for public office, you should be, you know, able to accept criticism. You should provide people information. It's our right as taxpayers to see this stuff.
Now, passing legislation in New York is not easy. We just saw the Medical Aid in Dying Act pass after 10 and a half years of pushing the state to get that legislation into law. So, you know, you've had the governor vetoing these bills. Let's just take the one about tightening FOIL deadlines. You know, do you go back and reintroduce it this session? How does that work? How do you regroup and go back at the legislature to try to open up government?
Yep. As you point out, passing legislation is not easy. So even just getting bills through the legislature is quite the process. And to their credit, the state legislature has been receptive in passing these bills. And then to have the governor just veto it is very disappointing. So we will go back and we will see if there's ways to tweak some of these bills to make them acceptable to the governor approving them. So it is an ongoing process. We go to Albany every year to lobby the state legislature, and we'll do it again this year, and we'll keep at it.
Is it a game? I mean, Paul Wolf from the New York Coalition of Open Government, is this a game? I mean, you say that the legislature, they're all Democrats. The Democrats are in power in New York State. Both houses like it, but then suddenly it gets stopped by the governor. Is it, as my former colleague and host of this program, Alan Chartok, used to say, accidentally on purpose? None of them really want it?
Well, I try to stay optimistic, and it has been good to see that the passage of these bills has truly been nonpartisan, that, you know, Democrats and Republicans have voted for these items, which makes it just, you know, more frustrating that you have the governor veto them. So, you know, again, all we can do is keep trying and keep pushing forward. It's an election year for the governor. I think she's going to pay a price for her lack of support for open government. Hopefully that puts some pressure on her to maybe get some things done this year.
Well, speaking of 2025, the governor was not alone on the naughty list. I see out your way in Western New York, Niagara Falls Mayor Robert, is it Restaino, also appeared on the list three times. What's going on with the mayor?
He's another interesting government official. He has made the list, our list. We've done this for 4 years now, and he's made the list for 3 years. He, too, ran for office on a platform of government transparency, but has done many things that have not supported that. So, you know, he has had altercations with the news media, not liking some of the questions they asked them. His administration has been very difficult in getting FOIL information provided to the news media. So unfortunately, it has been an ongoing situation with the Niagara Falls mayor.
Yeah, and as is pointed out in this article I'm reading from the Times Union, the Niagara Gazette, which covered his administration, he publicly stated he would ignore FOIL requests from the newspaper. So it's getting easier. Do you think there's a climate now, probably starts from the top, from the federal government, of distrusting the press, attacking the press, and ignoring the press?
Yeah, I think things have gotten worse. I think, you know, starting at the national level, you know, elected officials seem to be more comfortable now in attacking the news media. And the news media is just such a critical part of our democracy. I mean, the only way to hold elected officials accountable is through pesky reporters digging into things and asking difficult questions. And certainly elected officials don't like that.
Absolutely not. They don't want that at all. Now, we're going to name someone else here on your list from Erie County, represents parts of Erie County, that is, Senate Minority Whip Patrick Gallivan. Why has he been naughty?
Well, there's been a many-year effort regarding police disciplinary records. For over 40 years, unlike all other government employees, the public did not have a right to see disciplinary records of police officials. You could see disciplinary records of all other public employees, but not police officials. They had a special exemption in the law. that law was changed a couple years ago, rightfully. And police agencies across the state have been litigating it to death. Finally, the New York Court of Appeals seems to have put this to rest, saying, look, you know, the public is entitled to these police disciplinary records. Senator Gallivan, who's a former police official himself, is now seeking to roll that back. He introduced a bill that would require court approval before police disciplinary records can be released. So this would be a huge step backwards after this hard effort to get the law changed just a couple years ago.
Yeah, it's a really disturbing thing. If you're a citizen, the police are public officials, really. They're part of the public apparatus. We pay their salaries, so we should know how they're behaving in the workplace.
Absolutely. What they do is important work. We respect our police officials, but we also have a right to know if some of those bad apples aren't behaving appropriately. We need to see that information.
Yeah. And I think, you know, with the recent prison omnibus reform bill the governor signed, in light of the deaths as a result of prison officials, police officials' misconduct and beating people to death, you can see why you might want to know what's going on if there's no video, for example.
Absolutely. And, you know, the big fight with the police records has been whether, you know, unsubstantiated discipline matter should be released, and the courts have ruled yes, they should, because police agencies unfortunately have done a terrible job in policing their own. So very few police officers are disciplined, although there are many complaints, and I think it's important to see all the complaints, whether they've resulted in discipline or not.
Well, let's move over to the nice list for a second, because the North Country, the town of Canton, landed on your open government list. You know, it's nice to be on the nice list. How come the Canton Town Board ended up there?
Yes, it is great to have, you know, nice folks to put on the list, nice municipalities. One of the big problems in government is executive sessions, which are all too frequently abused. There are certain limited reasons under the law where a board can meet in private. And there was a county in where Canton is located was requesting to do an executive session with two municipalities, which is pretty, you know, unusual. Anytime two public entities are getting together, that should occur in public. And to their credit, the Canton Town Board said, no, we're not going to engage in a secret executive session meeting. And that's a rare occurrence to see anyone speak up against holding an executive session.
Yeah, even rarer is the idea that someone gets found guilty on not of obstructing public access to records in order to pay a fine. This happened in Saratoga Springs. It landed attorney Mike Brandy, the Saratoga Springs Republican Party chairman, on the nice list after he filed a FOIL request against his political rival, Dylan Moran. And, of course, the result was a fine. He got nailed for it.
Yeah, it's unusual in, you know, New York. This has never happened before. There is a section of the law. It's never really been utilized. But to his credit, attorney Mike Brandy took a look at the books and saw there was this section of the law where you can hold a public official responsible for obstructing access to records. He spoke with the sheriff of his county. They filed charges, and they had a trial. And a judge ruled that this public official was guilty of obstructing access to records by not providing information to a FOIL request. You know, in New York, the only way to really enforce the law is you yourself have to go hire an attorney. There's really no fines or penalties other than this little used section of the law. So we hope that now that this has happened, maybe we can see this happen more often. There is a tool available, as limited as it is, for some accountability.
Well, let's head to Troy, New York, where Councilman Ryan Brosnan ended up on the nice list. I'll let you tell them why.
One of the things we support is live streaming of public meetings and posting those recordings online. You know, one of the good things that happened, few good things that happened in COVID, was all these meetings were live streamed and recordings posted, and thousands of people were watching these government meetings. There's always been an argument that not many people are interested. You know, very few people attend the meetings. But what we saw from watching these recordings and live streams, many people are interested. It's just hard for them to get to the meetings with work and children and other things. So in Troy, there was a proposal to live stream, video record their meetings. And unfortunately, it became a contentious issue. One party was for it, one party was against it. And this council member, to his credit, crossed party lines and supported having his municipality live stream and video record their meetings. So again, we think this should be mandated statewide. It's not hard to do. You can do it literally with an iPhone to record a meeting nowadays.
Does recording legislators, let's take the legislature, for example. The old argument is that in the end, no matter what the budget is, the negotiation comes down to the three state leaders in a room. Maybe some of their staffs obviously working together, and there's a little bit more to it. But the idea that three people in a room are making decisions out of the open light. And do you think by opening that up, by having negotiations in public, it will change things? We often hear that if you open up the public eye on a politician, they're just going to dance for the camera rather than act like they normally would act. And somehow they'll figure a way through a nod or some symbol to make their agreement out of the public eye.
Well, our government officials are certainly creative in finding ways to do things behind closed doors. But certainly the more sunlight we can get into the process, the better. It would be great if the state legislature actually had, you know, meetings in public where the budget was discussed and debated. As you say, it doesn't really happen. You know, it's all done behind closed doors with leadership. It's a terrible way to conduct business. It's a terrible way to spend billions of dollars, all decided behind closed doors.
Can you talk for a minute, Paul Wolf, President Emeritus of the New York Coalition for Open Government, a bit about guaranteeing the public's right to speak at government meetings? I mean, you've talked about the open meetings law, but even addressing the legislature or places like that. Now, there are testimonials. They do bring people up to speak when they're part of a campaign or an issue or lobbying. But in general, the ability to just get up and speak to your government officials.
That is an important part of democracy, is the ability to speak to your elected officials. And many people are shocked to learn that in New York State, the open meetings law does not give you a right to speak to your city council, your town board, your county legislature. The law simply says that you have a right to observe. You have a right to sit there and see and listen and keep your mouth shut, unfortunately. Many municipalities will allow the public to speak for 3 minutes at best, but that's only if they allow it, and they don't have to allow it, which is, again, shocking to many people. In my county, the Erie County Legislature, for 57 years, the public never had the right to speak to county at the county legislature meetings. Pretty incredible. And
It's unbelievable. And, you know, the idea that here you are sitting there and you can only observe. I mean, come on now. This is a democracy. We're supposed to be able to exchange ideas and to be able to debate civilly about what kind of legislation or rulemaking we're doing.
Absolutely. And in 13 other states, they do have the legal right that 13 other states require that every meeting the public is given the opportunity to be heard. New York is not one of those states. So that is something that we are seeking to change in the law as well.
Here's an idea you have that I kind of like. Require local government officials to complete open government training. What would that entail?
New York, again, you know, New York, people view New York as like, you know, the leading state in many ways.
The Empire State.
Yes. But when it comes to open government, we are way behind many other states. In New York, again, shockingly, you get elected as a public official. There is no requirement that you read the open meetings law or the freedom information law. There's no requirement that you have to do training. I'm an attorney. I'm required to do, you know, so many hours of training every year. Many other professions are required to do training education requirements, but we don't require our elected officials to do that. So we do have a bill introduced that just would say, you know, geez, every year you got to at least do an hour or two of training on the open meetings law and the FOIL law. Because a lot of times we get pushback from elected officials that say they didn't know, they were unaware they were violating the law, which is, you know, pretty shocking in itself. So we do need to educate more.
It is pretty shocking. And, you know, you can just see when they create laws, you know, there are often unforeseen consequences. So, you know, they might compromise and say, well, instead of training, we'll give you all a handbook, you know. Many of us have handbooks that we probably haven't read like we should.
Some states at least require you to sign something saying, yes, I've read the open government laws. We don't even do that, you know.
Well, obviously, you've got your work cut out for you when it comes to politics and openness. But you, as you say, are positive, and your organization is set up to push the legislature, to push lawmakers, to push local municipalities to do just that. So as you look forward to 2026, this new year, you know, what are you hoping to do? What are some of the major things on your agenda? You know, how can others get involved if they'd like to?
Sure. A big part of our effort is to change state laws. We've discussed throughout this show, New York's law is weak in many ways. So we will be going up to Albany again to push for reform. We have specific bills. We've been working with other groups. And certainly we welcome anyone to join our efforts. Our website is nyopengov.org. And on there you can see reports that we've done. You can sign up to get on our email list. We have a very active Facebook page as well where we post information. And as you mentioned earlier, amazingly, our group, we're all volunteers. We don't have any paid staff. So it really is just a committed group of people from all across New York State who support democracy, support the ability to live in a free country. But there's just improvements that we can make so that we're all getting information better.
Yeah. And do you see success at the end of this? Are you hopeful that you're going to have enough sponsors and that eventually, perhaps even in this election year, the governor will respond and get herself on the nice list instead of the naughty list?
Well, election years are a great opportunity. In election years, elected officials certainly seem to be more responsive than they are in other years. So we hope that is true this year. And we'll keep plugging away.
If people in their pursuit of open government have problems, should they reach out to you?
Absolutely. A big part of what we do is we answer questions from the news media and the public through our website. There's an email there that you can submit questions or get advice about your FOIL problems or an open meeting law problem that you've encountered. And that's a big part of what we do is simply just making people aware of what their rights are. We do training sessions throughout the year. One of the things we want to do this year is there's a whole slew of new elected officials from across the state. And we want to invite them to train them about what the requirements of the law are. So we can start them off right from the beginning on the right foot, hopefully.
Hey, maybe Paul, you should add your organization to the bill. You know, say, yeah. We'll train people how to do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I hate to say this, but we are out of time. I do appreciate so very much our visit with Paul Wolf, President Emeritus of the New York Coalition for Open Government. You can find out more at nyopengov.org. Paul, happy holidays. Happy New Year. Good luck with your efforts. I'm behind you 100%. Let's open up government for all to see and hear.
Thanks. Thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Support for the Capital Connection comes from United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. You can listen to The Capital Connection anytime at wamcpodcast.org or anywhere you get your podcast. And join us again next week at this same time for another political conversation. For The Capital Connection, I'm David Giustina.